in the book of Isaiah, two natural divisions occur or exist in the book of Isaiah, which is a 66-chapter book, and some call it the microcosm of the whole Bible, where we have the first 39 chapters speaking about coming judgment on Israel and on Gentile nations for sin and apostasy. And remember, the Old Testament canon is 39 books, interestingly enough. Chapter 40 through 66, the Bible is a 66-book canon. Again, Isaiah is a 66-chapter book. Chapter 40 through 66, which somewhat mirrors the New Testament books, the 27 New Testament books, speaks about, that is, Isaiah 40 through 66, mercy, comfort, and eternal restoration under the Messiah. And the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, beginning in the first chapter of Isaiah, speaks of, verse 2, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." And he goes more into detail with their rebellion. And in verse 18 of the first chapter of Isaiah, beginning, let's start in verse 16, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment or justice, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword." That would be judgment. "For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." And so we see God announcing afresh the sins of his people, and then a call of God for them to repent and be washed clean, completely clean, as wool and as cotton. And yet, if they rebel, they refuse to repent and they rebel, they don't answer his call to mercy, for him to repentance so he can show his mercy, they will be devoured by the sword of judgment, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And so we see this as a constant theme from Genesis to Revelation of God calling out to his own people who have backslidden, and also the whole of mankind, to repent and to come and receive the refreshing, the times of refreshing, ultimately eternally, in the presence of the Lord. In fact, on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter, anointed by the Holy Ghost in chapter 3, says the following, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Now, that's not only immediately, but that's eternally. The times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord are available to all men and every person listening to this message. This is not a man's message. This is God's message, and he requires that we repent. We turn to him, acknowledging and admitting that we have sinned against him, and asking him to forgive us, and giving the life he gave us, which is his life ultimately, back to him. As we repent, we turn to God, we change our direction, our mind, our heart, and we put it upon the Lord. That's what repentance is. And he converts us, and our sins are blotted out. And then times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Now, this is a divine promise. We see in these scriptures and so many more throughout the Bible that God is such a loving and merciful God, and he's not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter 3:9, he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to be buried, to rise again from the dead, to complete redemption single-handedly. When he had by himself purged our sins, he then rose from the dead and went to sit back at the Father's right hand, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3.
Now, concerning the mercy of God and his willingness and desire to forgive people, namely his people who have backslidden, who are lukewarm, who are no longer seeking the face of the Lord and are consumed by sin, because it's either one or the other. Dan Blinko notes the following. He says, Jeremiah's message was never meant to leave the heart in despair. Every warning from God carried an invitation to return. The Lord does not expose empty religion to shame his people, but to heal them. Repentance is not the loss of hope. It is the beginning of hope. Christ still receives every soul that comes with humility, and he gives living faith where there was only habit, peace where there was only fear, and joy where there was only emptiness. The call remains the same today, to draw near to him with a sincere heart, trusting that his mercy is always greater than our weakness, unquote, Dan Blinko. And on that note, remember in James chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, the Lord says the following, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh, that means draw close to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning or weeping, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up.
In Isaiah 55, the Lord said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Notice, God will abundantly pardon those who repent, who seek him, who call upon him, who return to him, those who come back to him before it's too late, while he is near, and forsake their own way, abandon their life and all the sin that has got them into a place of darkness and desperate anguish, shame, and guilt. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. So God says he's going to abundantly pardon those who seek him with an earnest, honest heart and forsake their way and their thoughts and return to the Lord. And he's going to have mercy upon them, and he is going to abundantly pardon them. Remember, the thief on the cross next to Jesus called him Lord and simply asked and believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That was 2,000 years ago. And of the two thieves, the repentant thief has been in eternal glory and bliss for 2,000 years. And the other thief who rebelled and did not seek the Lord in his final breath on this earth is now in hell. And he will forever be in hell and suffer eternal conscious torment. Luke 23:42, Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. God's pardon is paramount to being in paradise with him and his saints. When we cry out to the Lord will freely forgive us, no matter where we are. That's why he came and what he desires to do, and he made that clear throughout his word. Yet we must never forget that we shall reap, every one of us shall reap what we sow. Galatians 6:7-8. If we choose to sin, if we choose to continue in rebellion, there will be dire and eternal consequences. And while we can be forgiven, those results must be reaped. In fact, in the book of Psalm chapter 86, these are two verses that absolutely changed my life as the Lord reveals to us here how merciful he is. Notice verse 5, Psalm 86:5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. If we're ready and willing to repent, if we're willing and obedient to repent, Isaiah 1 spoke of, then we can be completely forgiven and mercy from God, his mercy can be bestowed upon us, and it will be. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. Notice he's ready not to condemn, but to forgive. That's his desire. He doesn't want to see anyone perish, 2 Peter 3:9. And plenteous in mercy. Notice God is plenteous in mercy. He has no limit to it. If we will repent, his mercy will be bestowed upon us to forgive and wash and cleanse us and refresh us and make us new and put us into his kingdom and establish us in him. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Notice we must call upon the Lord. We must return, turn again, repent. Those words are interchangeable. Hosea 14:1. God calls his people to return, turn again to him. Psalm 86:15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy. Beautiful. Psalm 86:5-15. Okay, as we close at the end of Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Unquote. Matthew 11:28-30. One writer notes on this passage that Jesus' gracious invitation comes to all that labor and are heavy laden with the troubles of life and the sins of their own human nature. By coming to Jesus, becoming his servant, and obeying his direction and word, Jesus will free you from the insurmountable burdens and give you rest, peace, and his Holy Spirit to lead you through life. What trials and cares you carry will be borne with his help and grace. Unquote. And we call to remembrance Revelation 22, where in verse 17, we read that the Spirit and the bride, that's the Holy Spirit and the true bride or the remnant, the people of God, say, come. Notice all Christians that are ready to meet Christ, that are the bride of the true bride of Christ, are saying something to the world around them, to those around them, and that would be, come, and let him that heareth come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. As we close, saints, let us pray together. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, please break me. Crush me, dear Lord. You are my potter. I am your clay. Mold me and make me, O God. Pour upon my life, my heart, the water of your Holy Spirit and word. Heavenly Father, wash me clean. I admit that I have sinned against you. I have gone my own way. I have rebelled. But I'm coming to you now in the name of Jesus Christ and asking you to save me for your glory, O God, to restore my life. I love you, dear Lord Jesus. Let this heart be broken and contrite, and let tears flow from a poor and a pure heart that hungers and thirsts after your righteousness, that exists only to please you, declaring, as my Lord Jesus Christ declared, Father, not my will, but thine be done. And into thine hands I commend, I submit my spirit here and now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, Scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all Scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.